Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards. Like in March. Not March, February.
You trying to tell me the internet isn't always right?
Shocking, isn't it?
You don't believe everything you see on the internet? What is your problem?
I know. I need to do better. I'm working on myself.
They have the internet on computers now.
Goals and aspirations.
Do we want to add anything else to the show?
What the fuck was it that I thought? Sports entertainment. There was something that crossed my mind that I thought.
Will a little Jimi Hendrix help?
That's my favorite Jimi Hendrix song, boy.
You don't think of music?
I love Jimi Hendrix. He's my hero.
You got about a minute. You got about a minute to think about it.
I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to jam the song. You messed up.
It might remind you at the end. You never know.
I always said if I ever got a band and got a chance to play at a award show or like a major show, I'm redoing this shit. Like, I love Red House. It's the most dope Jimi Hendrix song you got.
Do you play it all now? Do you play it all now?
No, man. I ain't touched a guitar in years, dog. And I've been saying I was gonna get another one and start playing again.
Guitars.
You know what brought it back to my mind to say, man, you gotta play this shit again. I was listening to some random thing and I heard Plush Acoustic and I was like, I need to play this shit. I need to go play. Cause it's such a beautiful song acoustic. Totally different.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Everlong by the Foo Fighters. Sounds much better acoustically
like
than
Everlong. Yes. Or The Reason by Hoobastank.
Yes.
Totally different song acoustic.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And it is already stripped down as a rock song, but acoustically?
The first time I heard The Reason, I thought it was Incubus. I'm just like, well, oh, it's the other brother? I'm like,
it's Junior, yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, Hoobastank is they were like Edema. You know, they were all like new metal-y and aggro, and now they suddenly got feelings.
I saw the funniest TikTok the other day that was basically saying that Incubus' DJ has had the greatest job for 30 years because he don't do shit. 4.5 minutes.
That's all. He's got one move.
At least DJ Lethal back there with Limp Bizkit actually try to do something. My boy just be chilling. Iri.
It's like five moves of doom in wrestling. That's all.
He's the JTG of WWE. He just ain't never going to get fired. He's the Tamina of WWE.
Oh, do I have it still?
You have a JTG or a Tamina?
Yo. Chad Gaspard and JTG. It's crime time.
Brooklyn. Bringing it. The hood to you.
Bringing it. Have y'all ever thought that gimmick is giving the worst to guys who couldn't get over how bad that could have been?
I mean,
define bad, though, because this was already bad from like a stereotypical perspective.
Sure, that's what I mean. Get your property took. But the reason why we don't look at it as wrestle crap is because they actually made the gimmick fun.
True.
They were entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
You know what I mean? But like, if they would have been terrible.
Okay, that's fair. If they suck on top of being racist stereotype. Yeah, that's a bad combination.
It's pretty bad. It's
like Muhammad Hassan type shit.
Could have been Tiger Ali Singh.
Oh, there we go.
I don't have that.
Take it back.
I don't have that.
You don't have a Tiger Ali Singh reference? Come on.
Nope. But we got a lot to talk about today, so let's start the show. Oh, you know what? When I play around with the sound bites before the show, we're gonna turn the sound back up.
Let's not start the show, damn
it. So psych your mind, now we start the show.
We start the show differently now.
Welcome back to Pod is War. Pod is War ain't noise pollution. I'm PC Tony. I'm joined, as always, by Andrew Belaz and Ray Cash. I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag before Ray. Good sense.
I mean, that did kind of sound like a cat noise.
Are we on the road to WrestleMania or the road to Cashomania?
Cashomania, here comes the money.
Here we go.
So look,
I don't have that one. Maybe I do.
I was trying to keep it close to the vest at least, but it doesn't matter anymore.
We don't have to tell them exactly what it is, but think about it.
Why not?
Just
think about it. Why not? Who cares? It's 4 weeks away. Look forward to a lot of old, new, and old, staple, and new Ray Cash joints WrestleMania weekend. So, the Outsider's Edge is coming back with the big Mania preview. Badlands is coming back with my boy Magsy, going over the best and worst Mania main events. Got special shows with my boy Attitude of Aggression Dave. We're talking the Hall of Fame. We're inducting our own Hall of Fame. Whatever we do here on Pot is War,
I'm going to nominate myself for the Hall of Fame, right?
I'm waiting on that. Okay. And yes, and so thank you for nominating Jack Tunney, your uncle.
No, me. Fuck him. Me.
The whole family.
We're going to cross out the PC and put Jack, so I want you to know that.
No, that's that I'm not nominating
him. No, he's
going to
cross out the Heenan and Heenan family and just put Tunney family.
That's a good point. That's even better. By the way, I got my boy Kenny Killer coming back. So me, Kenny, actually, that's probably the biggest star-studded show of the week we'll be doing. Me, Rob Bonnet, Kenny Killer, and the returning Chris Platt.
There you go.
Wow.
We're doing a Chair Shot Radio special, The State of Black Wrestling. We got a lot of stuff going on. I have a list. My homies from Scotland, my brothers from another mother from another continent, Ricky and Clive, they're coming back. We're breaking down NXT, Stand and Deliver. Hey, man, you're going to be sick of me. Oh, and hold on.
And the best part of
the total package.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Andrew, do you know the coolest thing about this, though, for me is, you know, Ray brought it up, and I was like, yeah, no
problem.
No problem. Whatever you need, let me know. However I can help. But you know what? He doesn't need my help. He does everything.
Did you get some time off? All that content that you don't have to put yourself.
All the regular stuff is still going to be there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting to listen to all those friends of the network and just listen to everything Ray's got planned up his sleeve there. Involved a lot of good personalities on our network and some old friends of the network, Ray. So I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited for all the work you've dedicated yourself to do that week.
The beautiful thing about it is, Tony, with the exception of maybe The Edge and the Ricky and Clive show are the actual previews. They got to be done close to the vest. The rest of them shits can be done at any time in the next 5 weeks. So I'm all good, baby.
He's good to go. He's ready to go. He's ready to go.
I feel bad for DJ, who's recording a million different podcasts, has 17 jobs, and he's doing the total package with me. So DJ...
DJ only records one podcast.
Yeah, but he got to do the ringer, got to go on down the street to Cornet. Like, my boy acting like he doing the run. So, hey, I don't know what he's doing in his life.
Y'all got to get used to the grind.
Hey, look, you're talking about the grind for real when you record and you edit. Like, producing, like you were saying about me. producing is a whole different game.
Tony knows. Why do you think he doesn't really edit this show anymore? He's hard. Fuck this shit. We're doing it wrong.
he is a genius. That's why we lovingly call him the Kevin Dunham Churchat.
I mean, I've set it up so I don't have to. I mean, I really don't anymore. Does it? We don't need it. It's the charm of just my. It's how my productions are. Here's the other thing.
Say some out-of-pocket shit. You never know.
I've also created some work for myself. I don't know if either of you have been on the WordPress.
Every Thursday.
So you don't see
that. I ain't been on in a minute.
Do you know what work I've created for myself, Andrew?
No. I'm on the WordPress. I do the typing. I push publish and I'm done.
And you don't have an idea. I have an idea.
You don't see the list of things that are set to publish on ChairShot?
I don't have to. I have a direct link to the new post.
Ray, so I just do it that way. Go ahead, Ray. You know what I'm going to do.
Is it that you changed the list of all the shows and the blur, but you got to go back and change all the old shows?
No. We're bringing back Chairshot staff picks for WrestleMania, so look for that PC Tunney article.
Oh, God bless you. Oh. I'm already having to reach out to the whole group for two things. The Hall of Fame. Yeah.
First couple times I did that, I hated it. And then Tunney's like, oh, I could do it. All right, fine. Fuck you. You do it.
I did it for like 18 months, and I was like, I think I'm done with this, guys. But I think it's good for WrestleMania. I think I can get a whole bunch of people. I'm gonna ask, you know, you guys give your prediction, and then like one short sentence, and I'll pick and choose who I want to put in and different stuff like that.
Well, can we implore Uncle Paul to give us the whole damn card before the last week?
Well, so you can actually do it. We got time. I imagine, you know, if I give you guys the list to pick on, like, Tuesday after Raw before WrestleMania, then we can get your picks in by Thursday and I'll put it up Saturday.
And why would he give up the ghost so early anyway? Like, WrestleMania sells itself.
A lot of
the tickets are sold.
Exactly.
The gate's already there.
A lot of stuff has been
predicted already. He could put
though.
Eugene versus Hornswoggle in the main event. It doesn't matter. There's going to be 80,000 people there watching.
Exactly. So build the show properly.
No more reason to just hold it.
All right, before we really start in here and talk wrestling and everything else we're going to do, we're going to hit some NFL news and notes as well. And yeah, we here on Pod is War are going to beat the nerds to it. Too bad and too so sad. We're going to talk the casting news for Avengers Doomsday, which was pretty freaking huge today. So all that and more coming its way on Pod is War. Ray Cash, Andrew Belaz, PC Tunney. Follow us at Pod is War. Follow everything ChairShot-wise at ChairShot Media on X. And don't forget about thechairshot.com. Let them know, Chris.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, gentlemen. John Cena. I was thinking about when we do this show and how I like to kind of dance around the wrestling topics and just kind of give my opinion like, oh yeah, tune in tomorrow to DWI, right? But no.
That's been your gimmick for years.
I know. I'm gonna start this topic of John Cena a different way. I've been all in and I've been all impressed with everything he's done until he told us that he's gonna retire and take the title away. Because A, it feels like something we've done before. You can fill in the blank of what that is. And B, it just makes me think he's not going to win now. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'll admit that it was a breach of the logic that he was using in the first promo, where he took a very old school heel perspective of telling the truth and not using, you know, wording like that to make a promise that could not happen, which that's more of a babyface thing to just make hollow promises and fighting spirit and I'm gonna overcome the odds because that's I'm the good guy, I'm supposed to do that. So the fact that he made that weird, you know, spinner belt is the problem and I'm gonna take your title away and make you all sad that way, blah 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 blah, that felt weird. I didn't necessarily feel differently about how I think the match is going to go, but I don't know. I feel like it lost his promo lost a little bit of steam at that point, especially when he linchpinned his whole point on the spinner belt, which a lot of the I'm gonna say next generation below us, the Zoomer generation of wrestling fans, kind of like that belt a lot, and kind of miss the spinner belt. And it's more the millennial and Gen X fans that thought it was stupid and thought it was a toy, and we missed the winged eagle and big gold and fuck you and your nerdy shit. Like, so I feel like there's a disconnect between who he thinks he's making sad and who he thinks he's making happy. So it came off weird to me. I just didn't like that whole line.
Well, it's the millennial and Gen X guys that are the ones that have been booing him for 20 years. So that's the point.
Yeah, but if you look at the crowd, it's a lot of Zoomers, because Zoomers are like 25 now.
Sure, but I guess his point is, you ever heard the term, it only takes one to fuck it up for everybody?
Of course.
His term, basically, from what his vantage point is, this crowd has antagonized me unfairly for 20 years. So it doesn't matter if all of you now love me. I don't forget the crowd in general.
I like that first perspective. Yeah. I feel like it was a small disconnect, like just dovetailing off your vantage point perspective. Sure. I feel like he's taking the Forrest Whitaker approach to a vantage point, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, that's a low blow.
So it's multiple references on top of itself.
That's beautiful.
But like, he's just picking a weird thing to kind of hone in on. And like, millennials to Gen X are 40 to 50. They've been bringing their kids, which are what, Gen Alpha? And the Zoomer generation is like that 20 to 30, somewhere there kind of thing. So like, it's a weird flex, yo.
To your point, he literally called out the kid fan last week. So like, everybody getting it.
That's true.
And the reason why I love the spinner point as kind of the canon event of John Cena's descent mentally
into madness,
quite literally, is because if you just like the Cabana Punk podcast was the canon point for Roman to start getting universally booed, the canon point for John Cena to start getting unilaterally booed was when he brought the spinner belt. Because that's when people started turning. And then they started turning even further because he wouldn't change. But that's the first time he ever started getting booze. Before that, he was the biggest babyface in the world. Now, hold that thought.
Continue.
Going further, the reason why I love that statement, the statement of I'm going to retire with the belt, why I love that whole kind of situation, is because the entire reason he came back for this one last year was what? To give back to the fans who have given to him for so long. So I'm going to give you one last year of this many dates. That's his words, not mine. Right? Yes. But if I hate the fans, why am I going to give you shit? The whole point of me coming back was really to win the title. I wanted to break the record. I break the record. Why would I keep wrestling? I'm retiring in December anyway. So from that vantage point, it makes all the sense in the world. I don't owe you shit. I'm John Cena. I'm a worldwide movie star. My wife is as fine as a woman you've ever seen walking in your street. I'm worth $70 million somewhere, maybe more. I don't need you. I don't need this. I came back to do something real, and you continue to show me y'all ain't shit. So I'm going to go ahead and get what I want out of this, which is that 17th title, and I'm going to chunk them deuces to you because I don't need you no more.
I can respect your point. I would have liked it more if he Lynch pinned it off of what he said in the first promo of he kept winning and winning, because I think that's when people started turning, when it lol Cena wins became a meme. And I feel like him being shoved down our throat is why the millennial Gen X crowd turned, not necessarily the spinner belt. It just kind of insisted upon the situation and just kind of compounded it instead of being the main reason why people were just like, fuck that dude.
But that was the first weight he's in the armor. That was the first weakness in his armor. Nobody had a negative thing to say about John Cena to that point until the spinner belt. That was the first thing that opened the floodgates. You're absolutely right. What turned the crowd against him unilaterally, totally, was this dude never loses. In fact, not only does he never lose, he gets put in situations where he doesn't need to be. he gets put over people who doesn't need to put who doesn't need to put over, like,
or he buries an entire faction like the Nexus.
100%
Because he's fucking Goku.
And he hears the actual reality of the backstage, which was he forced the change. It wasn't that wasn't what they booked. He asked for that change. Yes, all that's true. Mm-hmm. But what started it was he brought the spinner belt. You go back to the U.S. title. Same thing.
So here's the thing now, though. If he wins and he retires, then it's over. So that's not – so that won't happen. So what will happen?
I disagree with you, Tony. That's why there's a guy named Triple H who's in charge.
No, but
– This is where you can get involved with the whole Rock posse and Triple H trying to get back control of the company. And he can be forced because there is a thing called a contract that you signed that said you had this many dates you had to wrestle.
And didn't he punctuate the promo Monday with?
Could he just give the
walk
money
out
back?
With the title in December?
Can he just give the money back though? Do you know what I'm saying?
I mean, depends, like, on if it was a, you know, a guarantee or, like, you know, like.
I mean, like, we're really going.
If you guys got fronted the money,
like, you're really going way too into it. I'm like saying, what is going to happen storyline wise, right? Like, I know Bray brings up, okay, he retires Triple H. Like, I guess storyline wise that could happen, but like, that's really just kind of making it real hard to suspend my disbelief.
I didn't think he was winning anyway. We had that talk shortly, like when I was one of the few people to, you know, put pen to paper and say, this is, I think, Cena's turning. I didn't think he was going to win anyway. So that just kind of cements it. And I am fully aware that Ray's perspective on Cena hatred, and yours obviously too, is different than mine, because around the Cena ascent is when I stopped watching wrestling for a little bit. Then I came back in with TNA and I wasn't really watching WWE.
Well, and
so all of my friends that watch WWE, there was most of them liked the spinner belt because a lot of them had kids. A lot of them thought it was a cool merchandise branding kind of situation. Most of my friends made a Spaceballs reference and be like, merchandising, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, that actually looks really good, Ray.
What is that?
Hmm. What is that, like a?
It looks like curly fries.
What, yeah, I saw the curly fries, but what's the sandwich?
Hamburger.
Okay.
Yeah, my daughter cooked. So.
I never disliked John Cena. I always liked John Cena. Like, I specifically remember, there's two guys I specifically remember their first match. One's Goldberg, one's John Cena. I remember both of them, and I remember talking to Dan, whether it was the next day or like the day of, or we were watching together or something, and going, this guy's going to be something. And very short order, both guys were something. I did, though, hate the spinner belt. I thought, as the world championship, I didn't like the belt. It didn't make me dislike John Cena, though.
Yeah, and like I was saying, since Ray is chewing and he didn't hear the initial point, I wasn't really watching WWE at that stage. But all of my friends that were, because I stopped watching wrestling for a couple years, came back with TNA, they didn't mind the belt. They liked the belt. They did think it was a little cornball. But, like, so was the Smoking Skull and everybody's, like custom belt, like the Brahma Bull and all that other shit. Like, they do different things with custom belts. Some people think it's corny. Some people don't. The Immortal Belt for Jeff Hardy was one of the fucking ugliest things in the world, but people still bought replicas of it. People still bought that fucking Fiend belt, and that was a disgusting-looking piece of shit.
Daniel Bryan's fucking Eco Belt was disgusting.
Oh, the wooden one? That was so fucking terrible. I hate that one.
I love that belt because it could not be more perfect for the storyline that he was telling.
Sure, but it's still ugly.
Yes, as a gimmick, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and it lasted, what, 4 months? Yeah, that's the point. And that's the ultimate point. John Cena's belt was not a custom belt. It was the belt for the next 12 years.
Well, he was also on top for the next 12 years, so it was kind of a custom belt.
Right.
Everybody else you mentioned only lasted like 4 or 5 years and they'd retired.
Fair enough. So look, when Stone Cold lost the belt, he didn't have the next champion didn't hold the Smoking Skull belt. When Rock lost the championship, they didn't have the Brahma Bull. When the Fiend lost the title, Goldberg didn't hold up the title with his face. Like everybody else went. Famously, at 35, when Kofi Kingston beat Daniel Bryan, they had the regular championship ready to give to him. John Cena loses the title, Edge holds, has a spinner title. John Cena loses the title, Rob Van Dam has the title. John Cena loses the title.
Yeah, but I thought when somebody else got
the championship.
I thought when somebody else got the spinner title, though, it didn't spin. It only spun for John. The only other one that spun was Edge's Rated R title.
Rob Van Dam spun it because when he won the title that night on Tuesday, he was playing with it when he was showing it off. Yeah, it didn't stop spinning until like long after that. But it spun for the longest.
I think the belt just had a contact tie that night.
That could have been.
Knowing the backstage of that show?
The belt loosened up a little bit. It wasn't supposed to. It was just like, ooh, here you go. Travis Scott.
It's like your locks, right? It loosened up. That's why it started to spin.
little Travis Scott. Hey, there you go. Little Travis Scott Sage in the corner. No big deal. Hey, we'll have plenty more time to keep discussing what's going on with John Cena. I just thought it was really appropriate to... that was a great discussion, by the way. But what else are you guys digging going into WrestleMania, staying on this main roster style? Either of you want to jump in, or you want me to give one first while you guys kind of mull it over?
I mean, I don't think anybody can be mad at the Roman Seth Punk thing. Like, that's gotta be the second biggest story going into it. And regardless of there being a belt involved with Rhea, Io, and Bianca, like, I still don't like the framing. I don't like that match, with the fact that Io is on the outside looking in and she's an afterthought type situation. And it's weird. People want Rhea and Bianca. I'm fine with that because I think that'd be a really good match. It's fun. They're all over in different ways. I just don't like the framing of making Io look less than, when Io is more accomplished than all of them.
Not Bianca. I get your point.
Io is, okay.
But
in the wrestling world, and WWE now references Japan and stuff like that, Io is more accomplished than everybody, probably except Asuka.
Are you
She's also been wrestling longer than everybody.
Are you going to make my point,
and
Ray,
she's
about
still
Io
like
or no?
34.
Isn't that the whole point of her being in this storyline, though? If she's the one that keeps winning all these matches and she comes out of WrestleMania with it, like, they're putting her over. This is Daniel Bryan. This is the B-plus player storyline right here. The one that gets ignored is the one that's going to get over. So now she has to defend against Rhea again. Something will happen. It'll end up where they're going to have the triple threat. They have to, right?
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. Yes.
So I'm not
saying Io's not going to win because of what you're saying. I just personally don't like the framing, so it makes the match seem less than the Punk Roman Seth match. Aside from the fact that they're just bigger names because of longevity and how they've been marketed for the last 20 years. Like,
yeah.
Think about that, though. Like, that's like putting, like, man,
that's like what?
I mean, that's like putting Shawn and Hunter and
Taker in that fucking match.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, almost. I was going to say, like, one from a different company or something, you know, but something like that. But go ahead, Ray.
Your Tunney kind of started saying what I wanted to say. That's the point. Respect to Io. She's amazing. Amazing. The linchpins of that division for the past 5 years have been Bianca and Rhea. They're the names in that company. They're the names of that division. So the beautiful story is it was supposed to be them. And Io, to Tony's point, keeps messing it up because she keeps winning. So she's not the afterthought. She's actually what the story is about, because Bianca and Rhea can't fight each other because they got to go through the champ. So I feel you. I understand your point of wanting it to be three equals pushed that way. I understand that. I have no qualms with that point. My issue with that feud in general is how stupid it makes Rhea Ripley look. You look weak as hell. Like, it's to the point now where I know the European crowd is booing Bianca because it's fun to cheer Io, and Rhea's over in a way we haven't seen since Becky probably a few years ago. That's cool with me. I ain't got a problem with that. But I want to boo Rhea just because you're stupid now. Like, you let her distract you because she came out to watch the match that affected her championship match at WrestleMania. You let it get in your way. You lost. You came out the next week talking about, why are you here? Bitch, I won the championship. I'm going for the title. What are you talking about? Like, stupid, dog. It's like, she could have gone about this so much so differently. If you're the Eradicator, if your music says brutality at the beginning, stop talking. Start beating some people up.
She's
and
a
then
baby
force
face
your way into
now.
It.
That's the problem. And
but that's
you
the
know,
crowd likes bad as baby faces.
I know, but she also has to fall for Dumbo fucking babyface tropes. Like, anytime somebody you're in a feud with shows up, or their music hits, or their mom calls you, you have to be scared and get distracted. Like, that's how that works. It's worked that way for fucking ever. And it's a terrible trope, don't get me wrong, but it's something we've come to expect. And Rhea's also going to be over in, you know, the UK, because NXT UK, yes, she's Australian, but she's much closer to UK European than the other two. And European crowds are very smarky and very hardcore. So, of course, they love Io because of the Japanese stuff that we talked about and, you know, a couple of her tours over there. So Bianca's just the short straw in that situation, especially since she's the one antagonizing Rhea in a way. Or at least that's how the framing is making it look.
Hey, Tony, can I make you mad real fast?
Probably.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but you know what match I'm really looking forward to, especially over the past few weeks? Man, the way they're building Gunther and Jay, I am loving it. And the reason I'm loving it is because the story had always been Jay can't beat Gunther. That was the base level of it. But with him botching the dive last week, and now him botching the spear this week, the story isn't just that he can't beat Gunther, but that he's so shook by the fact that people think he can't beat Gunther that he don't believe it himself. Big Brother had to come, and now you remember what started the whole rise of Jay, which was the feud with Roman, when it was which one are you, and Hell in a Cell when he wouldn't give up, and Jimmy, straight off of surgery, came out, and Roman went fucking Daniel Day-Lewis on the ass and like choked him out while he was with his knee, and Jay came back to life, and because Jay's whole life is about protecting his family and his brother, right? Jimmy about to sacrifice himself for the good of Jay, because next week, you saw he slapped Gunther, and next week Gunther is going to beat that man within an inch of his Samoan life.
Yeah.
And that's going to bring Jay back to the Jay we know. I just think the turn, because I like the 10 weeks of hell shit. The repetitive kind of jumpings and stuff gets a little old, but I appreciate the fact that Gunther's saying this dude ain't getting no, he ain't gonna breathe at all the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But the flip of it being that this is all bravado from Jay, he don't think he can beat him, and so it's affecting his actual in-ring work. I think that's clever as fuck.
Why does that make me mad?
Because you hate Gunther.
I don't hate Gunther. I'm just kind of disappointed. I feel his championship reign has run stale on me. I like the build that Jay's having. I love the fact that they're, like, it's funny. I mean, I'm not, I try not to react to it on social media, and I try not to really talk about it on a lot of the shows. But the internet, the wrestling community, Andrew's people,
we've been over this. I agree with the Korean IWC, not the American one.
It's just funny. They just have to, like, they have to just be right. They have to say, oh, I know, right? Like, that's why I love doing this now after so long. I kind of like, okay, I can be wrong. Sure, I hate it, but, you know, sometimes it's fun. But you still have to go out there and give your opinion. And it's okay to not be in the know, but they're like, oh, so did they turn this into the storyline because he tripped the first time, so now they're going to make it a story? I'm like, they probably did it on purpose the first time, too, right? Like, I mean, these kind of things don't just happen. Either way, like, just sit down and relax. I think I'm just overall making a generalization about it's the road to WrestleMania, you know? It's funny. Everybody's like, the hype this year isn't as good as it was the last couple years. And then here, I got Ray Cash messaging me personally going, bro, I'm so psyched about this WrestleMania. I got this many specials coming your way. And I'm like, that just doesn't, these people, just, if you like it, great. If you don't, fine. But just sit down. This is all of ours, holy grail, once a year. So don't, you know, don't piss on my fucking head and tell me it's raining.
By the way, as a guy who's actually taking bumps in the ring, I can tell you, not from full experience, but from some experience, it's much easier to pretend to botch a dive than to actually botch it.
I mean, if you're good at what you do, it's easy to make it look like you're fucking up on purpose. Same thing with singing, playing an instrument. Anybody that is really good at what they do makes it look natural if they screw it up on purpose just for a gimmick or a show. Now, I don't disagree with you, Tony, but I do think that Trips is a little more savvy to the internet than the previous establishment. So I think he'd play with that 100% concept more. So,
well, or at the least,
I think there's validity in thinking that it might have been a pivot in the story, but it makes so much sense, especially coming off of what Rikishi said on his podcast, where he's just like, "I saw my son and he's tired," and I'm just like, "Dude, your main event now, you got to do this." So it's like, even if it was a pivot because he fucked up, it makes too much sense. So it slots so well. So I don't think anybody's right or wrong initially. The only people that know that obviously is whoever is in the booking committee and Jay. But the problem with the IWC is they're the same people that theorycraft on Reddit for Stranger Things or for Cobra Kai or for their favorite TV show, because that's all wrestling is. You just want to be right, so you're trying to predict the storyline. And the fact that wrestling is weekly live television, you get faster feedback. You get instant gratification or instant retardation.
And speaking of instant gratification and being right and predicting things, make sure you're checking out thechairshot.com the day before WrestleMania, as the ChairShot staff picks will return. You know, because we're all right all the time.
Ring the bell for yourself. That was good.
No, that's right. I don't. All right. Do you know who was like, when we were doing standings and stuff, do you know who was like ahead of everybody by a lot as far as predicting matches correctly over that like 18 months I was doing it?
No, because I wasn't really watching at that time, so I just threw out names that were cool, or I said Randy Orton most of the time.
It's not me, Ray, and it's not me. I'm not bringing it up to toot my own horn. Ray, do you have a guess?
Somebody random? I don't know, Patrick.
No, Dan.
Hey, Dan don't get no love on none of my shows till he brings his ass to work. Brother. I worked 80 hours at my job this past week. I've been at work literally 12 days in a row.
If you want to see Dan, you can show up 23 hours from now.
That's true. Look, he does seem to be there every week. Yeah.
That's not your only job, my boy. Just saying. I have to keep deleting your tab
Ray's
on
like,
the total package. Not Ray, total package, on Villa Madness.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, hey.
Ray's like, unless you decide to bring back a winner as you, I expect you to be a BAWN at least twice a month.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, just, you know what? Come on the show and say, hey, man, I got to go. Sorry, I just want to show my face.
He don't listen to this anyway, and I don't think he really care if I said this or not. It's more him about just, like, getting motivated to get up and on Sunday and just go downstairs and turn the computer on.
Oh, no, I'm giving you a hard time.
I mean, I understand that feeling, too, though, honestly.
Anything else Road to WrestleMania, Andrew, before we kind of take a break here and get into some NFL news and notes?
Oh, I kind of teed it up actually, with our goofy fucking picks, and then what I said is like, Randy Orton's match, of course, I'm interested in. KO and Randy?
No, that should be good. Yeah, that should be very good. That should lead to something. A lot of the little details are going to get connected here, and the picture is going to get better. I do like Americano Grande, Chad Gable, but that's also kind of a retread of a fucking Hulk Hogan thing again, you know, like that and Cena thing are kind of like retreads to me. Like I get like you can tell the story differently and it's not the same exact thing, but I don't know. I'm enjoying them both, but I want to make sure
Gable's
that I...
Chad Gable's also an order at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, and that's fantastic. Every basic white girl loves a Grande Americano.
All right, fine.
That's true!
I guess.
They make songs about iced Americanos now. Give me a fucking break. Become part of fucking pop culture.
Okay, Chad Gable is coffee.
Iced coffee.
Iced coffee?
with a lot of cream.
Do you have a Starbucks order? Do you have a Starbucks order?
Me personally?
Yeah. Have you ever gone to Starbucks? You ever run through Starbucks? You ever go to Target and you're like, "Ooh, I'm gonna grab a coffee while I walk through Target."
We have Dunkin' Donuts over here.
Oh, you're a Dunkin' guy. Okay, sorry. What's your Dunkin' order? My bad.
Depends. You know, I had to get into what the hype was, so sometimes I get an iced Americano and a basic white girl. And then other times I just get like a French vanilla latte or something like that.
I used to run through Starbucks, and it was like a iced, like, it's almost the same thing I drink at Starbucks, just a cafe mocha.
It's simple, easy, I like it.
Yeah, but that's about it. Easy, nothing too special. The problem is, though, is if the cappuccino machine is down, I'm like, okay, fuck it. I don't know why I can't
see that. That's my problem at Wawa, because that's the only reason I go to Wawa is for cappuccino. Ray, what about Ray?
Yeah,
Ray, you a coffee guy?
Yeah, what's your?
I'm not a coffee guy.
Okay, never mind. But thanks.
I like the smell of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that go for other things too?
they don't smell good. So.
All right. Let's take one more quick break. When we come back, let's get into some NFL news and notes, my friends. So this is Pot is War, Ray Cash, PC Tunney, Andrew Belaz. Oh, by the way, follow me at PC Tunney. Follow Ray at It's Ray Cash. Follow Andrew Belaz at IWC Warchief.
Don't follow me.
Kenny, get your ass in here and do the commercial.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
NFL gentlemen. Is Aaron Rodgers going to play or not? Is he going to retire? Like, this is the biggest story out right now. We'll work our way backwards from here, but the Steelers have an offer on the table. All the other quarterback positions basically are filled unless Minnesota out of nowhere decides they want to bring in Aaron Rodgers, or for some reason Tennessee decides the same thing, which would be really weird considering the draft positions that all these teams hold. Ray?
Yeah.
Do you think Aaron's going to retire, or do you think he's going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
He's going to be a Steeler, unfortunately, and I hate it. Not because he's playing. Just the luck I have, he'll probably have MVP caliber year again. That's just the fucking luck I have. But I hate that for Tomlin, because that's what's going to cause him to get fired. But he, if I was him and I was Tennessee, I would go to Tennessee for a one-year deal like rusted Giants country, let's loose, and I would draft Shadur and let that man teach him for 1 year and say, this is why you're here. You want to end your career on your terms. You want to have a good year, but I also need you to get this boy ready for next year. Or not Shadur, Cam. I'm sorry, Cam, and get this boy ready for next year, because I don't care what nobody say. I don't care if you're Mel Kiper, Mel Kiper, Pod Piper, I don't know what it is. Legs and five. I don't care. Cam Ward is not ready.
Somebody get Jimmy the Greek up in this place. What's going on here?
Yeah. Cam Ward is probably so, the right number one pick for potential. He is not ready to start day one next season.
But that's fine. Tennessee, they can still suck again next year and have Levis in there while he does it and bring him in the middle of the season. I think Russell Wilson.
The guy that likes mayo?
I think.
Oh no, we suck again.
In his coffee, by the way. I think Russell Wilson is in New York for Sanders to study under for a year.
I don't think he's making it to three.
Yes, well, they got you. They got Jameis. What? If I'm prime time, I'm calling him saying, "You better not draft my boy."
I don't know. I think.
Imagine that locker room though. Crab Legs McGee, Tony Cutlets, and fucking Danger Witch. What the fuck is this awful fucking amalgamation of a garbage fucking locker room? None of them get along personality wise.
Andrew, you just broke down your next season of NFL Quarterback live on Netflix. Just the Giants QB room.
God, it's so pathetic, but I'd watch it because it's got to be cinema because it's fucking dumb.
What do the Steelers?
I'm so close to it. I wonder if stupid is contagious.
What do the Steelers do if Aaron Rodgers retires? What do the Steelers do? Go with Mason Rudolph? I mean, what else is out there for them?
Who is out there that's available? Who is? Okay, so Darnold signed with the Chickens.
Is Jose Skinny still available or no? I don't remember seeing him sign.
Who is Jose Skinny?
Joe Flacco.
Oh!
Where's the issue in translation? I just flipped to Spanish.
The man's so Italian, I never thought Spanish in my mind. Got
Jose
you.
Skinny.
No, he is not signed.
Okay, so there you go. It's Aaron Rodgers or Jose Skinny.
Joe Flacco with Marlon Humphrey came out because Malik Harrison. By the way, for those of you who watched Ravens games this past year, Malik Harrison was the guy who was in coverage at linebacker who was getting beat every play. That's Malik Harrison. He signed with the Steelers. And so,
to get beat every play?
I guess so. So,
oh, nice.
Joe would never go there. He already went to the Browns, but we give him a pass because we came from Cleveland. He'd never go to the Steelers.
I mean, he'd be 3 out of 4 then, right? He would just need to go to the Bengals next.
I don't mean, is he trying to check out his bingo card?
He's just got to go through them all. So he's got to hit the cycle.
He did Indianapolis too, which is he's checking them all off. Yes.
So
I don't know, dog.
Here we go. I got a list for you. So Russell's been signed. I asked Grock, what are the remaining NFL free agent QBs? So Aaron Rodgers was first. They mentioned Russell Wilson gets signed, so he's off the list. Joe Flacco was next. Carson Wentz. Who'd he sign with?
He's a backup somewhere. I don't remember what city, but what team, but I remember him signing.
Did he?
Hey, Cuckoo.
I mean, regardless, I think it's funny that even Flacco is like technically the second best according to Grok or ChatGPT or whoever you asked, Tony.
Otherwise, you got guys like Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater, CJ Beathard.
No, stop it.
No. Drew Locke could be a stopgap for a year if your goal is to get
Mason
the number
Rudolph
one pick.
Is back in Pittsburgh. He can get Mason. You a number one pick.
Nope. I wouldn't.
Drew Locke is better than Mason Rudolph.
I do. I also think he's less. I keep my thoughts to myself.
Less problematic. What? Is that what you
thank
you.
I'm trying to find a nice way to say that. Thank you.
No problem, buddy. I got you.
My boy understands. Yeah. I appreciate that. Okay, so hold on. I have a pitch for you, both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm Mike Tomlin.
No.
Two-seam fastball outside
Maybe.
Corner.
Maybe. I call my own mm-hmm. game. When I was a pitcher, I called my own game.
Don't shake me off, fucker. Throw what I call.
Actually,
I call my own
catcher.
Okay, Greg Maddux.
My catcher knew my arm slots, so he knew what I was throwing. So, and he knew when I wasn't going to throw what he was calling.
So he would adjust mid pitch.
Well, it's like if I shook him off twice, he kind of just went. He kind of just wiggled his hand, like just fuck it. I know what you're going to throw. Just fucking throw it. He's like, I'm not getting in trouble for this again.
I'm not saying this is the guy, but you need a person that has potential, that's cheap, and that's young. You throw a fifth round pick to the Cowboys for Trey Lance?
Well, that was one of the names on the list. Did you hear the rumors that Cleveland is trying to trade for Dak Prescott?
Let me tell you why I believe it. Because it's the Cleveland fucking Browns.
Who would they be trading? Watson away to try to get rid of the contract?
The cash, sir. Cash. I guess the Haslams are loaded, bro, because they just spend buku money on quarterbacks.
But that's my thing. Like, I'm just like, you think Jerry would spend that much money on whatever?
I think Jerry is being held together by bubblegum and paper clips.
At this point.
See the kids in the suit? That's
he's just three kids in a suit, like the fucking BoJack Horseman character.
With the Jared Jones mask.
Yeah. I'm Jared Jones.
Actually, two
I
kids.
Run the Cowboys. Wow.
It's actually two kids and a cranky midget on the bottom.
Hurry up, y'all heavy. Hurry up.
Damn it, I asked for Mob Reds. What are these regular Marlboros?
I didn't even know they made L&M's anymore. What the fuck?
In all seriousness, I throw a fifth rounder for Trey Lance. I'd sign Drew Locke. Let him compete. I can get through the year with that. Because I'm stacked.
Yeah, if you
everywhere
only
else.
Want 2 wins.
Well, you know what? Maybe they need to have a losing season to get a good pick. Because every year, this 8-8 shit gets them the 17th pick every year.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the problem. Yeah. You talk about all the people we just brought up. They're just going to go with Mason Rudolph. That's what's going to happen. No, they will. And they'll go 9-8.
Yes,
just wait till Garrett gets a hold of him again. It's fine. He was waiting for him to come back.
I told you
to stay away, motherfucker.
Who's the third quarterback that people are really high on right now that are talking about getting drafted in the first round? Tyler Shaw or something like that?
McGee or some shit like that.
High enough for him to be relevant in the conversation. It's like 1, 2, and third is in Egypt somewhere.
Here's what they want. They want a tank for Arch Manning next year.
You're not wrong.
And Arch as a Steeler kind of fits.
Arch as a Giant could work too, though.
Well, you only think that because there was a Manning in the Giants.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm just thinking about teams that are kind of suck. Even fucking Vegas said Giants have 3.5 wins next year. Russ signs. They're still at 3.5 wins.
Is
for
that
the
over under? The 3.5?
Yes, 3.5. So Jalen. Before Russ signed and after. They're just like, they still suck.
Jackson Dart, you mentioned. Jalen Milroe, we didn't talk about.
Jalen Milroe is a Tomlin guy, for
Will,
sure.
Will Howard, Quinn Ewers, Dylan Gabriel from Oregon. And Tyler Shough from Louisville is the guy who's really running up the draft board right now.
Am I the only guy who watched Alabama the last 2 years? And they're talking about Jalen Milroe as a second-round pick? He is talented, but like...
College, I don't watch college on any sport.
But Anthony Richardson was like the fifth pick or something, the seventh pick, and the boy hadn't thrown a touchdown since Obama. He hadn't thrown a pass since Obama was president. So I mean, like, I get it, I understand. And boys like they like potential. That tape look good. Hey, I watched the tape from seventh grade. Pop Warner, you look good. Let me get you at the first round, 13th pick.
Let's round out the NFL conversation here with what QB changing teams do you like the most? Because there was a bunch of them that we didn't really talk about the last few weeks that I want to get to. You know, you mentioned Darnold to Seattle. You mentioned we got I didn't write him back. From Seattle to Vegas. God damn it.
Geno?
Yes, Geno Smith moving over there. Russell to the Giants. Who else am I missing? Didn't we have couple other quarterbacks move around?
I mean, Kenny Pickett went to Cleveland, which...
Dimes.
He's an upgrade nothing. Over whatever the fuck they have. I mean, just come on.
Daniel Jones went to...
Colts.
Yes, to battle with Anthony Richardson. Fields went to the Jets. What's going to happen with Kirk Cousins? Could Kirk Cousins go to Pittsburgh?
God. Did Fields and Russell Wilson really become best friends in Pittsburgh so they had to go to the same city together again?
No, I just think that both those teams suck enough to need a quarterback.
Could you imagine if they actually liked each other, though?
The brothers. They're happy
singing,
ever since
they're
ever rich.
Together. I can't say that. Okay.
Well, I love you, my boy. And Tony.
And Russell just comes in out of the screen, and Sierra and Justin Fields are standing together, and he looks behind at the camera and goes, and I think he's fucking my wife.
They don't call him Cuckoo Wilson for nothing.
I went and watched a game at Soldier fucking shit fuck field. To watch Russell Wilson beat the shit out of, I think it was Eastern Illinois when he was with Wisconsin. So,
wow. You asked what Kirk Cousins is gonna be doing? Holding that motherfucking clipboard for Big Penix energy.
He doesn't even need all that money though. He's got all that other money. Like he made more money than Tom Brady, I think.
Well, Tom Brady also took team friendly deals for 20 years.
Well, Tom Brady.
He's been underpaid since the Clinton administration. You know,
Tom Brady's doing
literally.
Okay. Tom Brady's doing okay.
No, my favorite signing is Justin, because I think he's going to ball the fuck out of the Jets. I really do.
Well, and he also has.
They don't fix their line. He's going to need to run for his life, so that's perfect for him.
He also has some built-in chemistry already with Garrett Wilson.
Mm-hmm. The old state guys, yeah, 100%.
Sure.
And Garrett Wilson hopefully remembers the fact that he was a first-round pick, because last year.
Well, that's Aaron.
It was more Aaron.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, but he could have done a little more.
I mean, he did drop a lot, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Am I the only one who did y'all like?
From the quarterbacks that moved?
Yeah.
None of them.
You don't like Darnold to the Chickens?
I think Darnold to the Seahawks is really smart.
I just don't like the Sea Chickens that much. Like, it's not bad. I'm not saying it's a bad move. I'm not high on the Sea Chickens. Like, they got Largent Jr. and Cooper Kupp, you know, Great White Hope again. And then Sam Darnold. Good for them.
Jackson Smith, my.
Yes. I'm not even going to try it.
Njigba?
My black man.
That's a dangerous name in case I fuck it up, so I'm not going to do it.
Njigba.
I know what it is. I'm just not going to.
Every time I hear someone.
Okay, so I can get clipped.
Every time I hear someone saying his name, I hear YG's. Every time I want to die for my, I hear that for his name, because it's. I don't call
him.
Every time
I hear his name, I hear Jigba. Chadwick Boseman's line from fucking 21 Bridges, of you know, you better be really. Oh, what the? Now I forgot what it was. That's what we're talking about. It's like you have to be like really enunciate when you talk about a trigger or something like that.
By the way, what a movie to reference. 21 Bridges. That's a.
Ed used Vantage Point and I pulled out fucking Forrest Whitaker. So, hey. Sometimes these movies that are old, not that old, is, you know, they're fun to just throw out there. Did you watch HBO in the last decade? Yes, you probably know this movie.
You probably seen it. That's like saying, I've never seen Baby Boy. Have you ever watched BET? Yeah, you've seen Baby Boy.
Dave asked the wrestling question to me. You think Paige will be back for Mania or right after?
After. But I don't think she's going to be signed to wrestle. At least not initially. Okay. I wonder.
She just had to get away from Sasha.
This is just random. Like, this is just. By the way, Dave, that's funny as fuck. By the way, Dave doesn't know that we're recording. He knows now because I just told him, but he didn't know. This is just a random question Dave put out to me while we were having a conversation in our personal chat.
So I thought, I know we're pivoting again. I thought she was signed. So if she was, that means that Tony had to let her out of contract, which means he is most definitely positive that she's not going over, because he wouldn't have done that. As much as he bitched about Phoenix and Ricky Starks, I think he's going to let her go back over? So I wonder if she signed a non-compete for 3, 6, 9 months or whatever it is.
What about the Sting Lex Luger induction?
Tony Khan's already a bitch. But he's a bigger bitch if he doesn't just let the man show up. Like, who the fuck did that? That doesn't help anybody. Dallas and Lex were at Sting's last match. It doesn't fucking hurt any or help anybody for that man to be on. All I do is just have him wear an AEW patch on his shirt. We're good. What the fuck? Who doesn't hurt anything? Being on Raw SmackDown NXT, I got you. We got problems. The fucking Hall of Fame? You have whole storylines about the Hall of Fame rings. What are we talking about?
Don't disagree with you. I don't know why the IWC was up in arms. Because again, I don't agree with the Western one. Because they just be like, WWE didn't let anybody come over for Sting because they did it at an AEW event that was a pay-per-view or whatever the fuck. It was Revolution, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they were there. They're just going to be on screen.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, that was at something AEW branded pay-per-view that people, like, match content. This is superfluous extra bullshit. Like, who gives a fuck? It's the Hall of Fame.
Do you guys have any thoughts on the roast of WrestleMania after WrestleMania? I would imagine, like, there's no plans to broadcast that right now, but I would imagine it would be up somewhere after that. Like, I think it'd be too funny, like, in the vein of Kill Tony on YouTube, specials coming out on Netflix. Like, have you guys seen his show? Do you know what he does? Like, do you think this is a dumb idea? Do you think it's interesting? What are your thoughts on this roast of WrestleMania?
You want to go first?
Oh, and you can go first.
Like, you guys, I'll just preface it. You guys obviously know my opinion. Like, you know I love Tony Hinchcliffe. I love comedy. Like, I'm not, like... Whether or not I would agree or disagree with the whole politics behind all of that, I am a fan first and foremost because of the comedy, and I think you guys know that too.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it at that, just to say that I'm asking this question because I am a fan. I can't wait.
I really enjoyed Kill Tony. I like my boy Cam because, you know, he likes rocks and rocks are dope. I'm not very happy with him. With certain things that have happened, kind of hurts my enjoyment of him right now.
Cam or Tony?
Tony.
Okay.
I think the idea of having this is cool. I think the idea of having him as the guy is problematic only because he don't give a fuck what he says. So you know there's going to be some Benoit mentions. You know there's going to be some Vince and Ring Boy mentions. Like, and who cares? This is a PG company that is owned by another entity. So, like, so if it really, truly is closed to the media and it's just them and there's no clips, who gives a fuck? Somebody's going to put some shit out there. It's going to be hurtful. I'm telling you, it's there's no positive that can come out of this, I don't think.
Even after the Brady roast, Tony said it, and a bunch of the even Edelman and a few others have gone on that, like, there were things you can't touch, like the craft jokes. Like, after what one was said, it people like there was like a no, like Brady literally was just like, you do not touch that, stop that. So there's still rules they have to follow. So I don't think they're gonna make like any kind of Aaron Hernandez level jokes of Benoit. You know what I mean?
But real fast, the reason that was able to be the case was because that was recorded for television. This won't be recorded. This is private.
You say that, but everything's recorded nowadays, so they'll just use it in like a 24/7 WWE behind the scenes thing.
Why would they advertise it though if they weren't going to put it out at some point?
That's exactly. That's why everything's recorded. Well, so they're probably going to edit it down a little.
Well, I'll bet you there's things that you can't touch. I bet you Chris Benoit and Vince McMahon are off the table. Everything else is on the table.
If that's truly the case, then this could be fun. I don't think Tony gives a fuck.
No, I think Tony's smart enough to... No, he's a huge wrestling fan, though. Like, he's a gigantic fucking wrestling fan. Like,
he is.
Undertaker had him on his podcast, you know? Like,
I
mean,
I remember that.
Joe Rogan specifically had Tony Hinchcliffe come on the Joe Rogan Experience when he had Undertaker on his podcast. Like, dude is legit, like, and, like, a supporter of it, too. So, they're going to be something, but, like, I mean, that's what they do. That's what you're getting. You already know what you're getting to bed with.
He's going to push the envelope, but I don't think he's going to say something stupid.
But there are a lot of roast comics. Jeff Ross is one of them. Jeselnik is one of them. Like, I enjoy roast comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy Kill Tony. I'm not a hater of him. He's done some things in recent months that have hurt, that have affected me, but... By and large, I've always been a fan of Hinchcliffe. Mm-hmm. But Hinchcliffe, more than the other guys, is the guy that gets off on doing the shit that nobody else is willing to do and going the place that everybody tells him he shouldn't. That's what he gets off on. And that's my only concern about it from a business standpoint. But I'm not going, so I shouldn't really give a fuck.
No, fair.
But you, okay.
I still think we're going to see some of it. And just to put a pin in, I guess, the initial question. Yes, I like Kill Tony. I watch it most weeks. Ari Mahdi is fantastic. I love Cam too. Cam's reaction to some jokes is just amazing, aside from his own fucking I like rock shit. But when people like try to make digs at him, like that's great. Like, what the fuck? A recent one with the "Did you walk here because there's scrapes on your knuckles?" I don't know if you saw that clip.
Oh, dude.
And then it took him a second, and he's just "Oh, wait, motherfucker, I'm doing it."
That was that was Rich Voss. That was a little too far, I thought, that one. But that one was like...
That look on his face, like, fucking wow.
Yeah, Tony, if you think that was a little too far, that's regular Tuesday.
No, it's not. Well, I watch every week.
That said it. That was one of the guests.
I've watched every single Kill Tony, like, the day I watch Tuesday nights. It comes out Monday night. I watch Tuesday night, probably for the last 2 years religiously, and I've seen the large majority of the ones beforehand. I don't think there's been that. I think that's the worst racist joke I've heard, like subliminally told. Like, that was horrible. That shouldn't have been said. But everything else on there is like overtly ridiculous, though, to the point where it's like everybody's making fun of everybody.
That's true. It is kind of equal opportunity most of the time. Comedy is subjective, so none of us should be telling people what to find funny.
No, or what to be offended by or not.
Correct, right? Yes. But I do agree with your general take of it's equal opportunity, everybody gets digs on each other, and they don't take it personally.
Here's my last question. You have the truth gas, right? Dentist gas that makes you laughing gas, that where you get asked the question, you have no hesitation to respond.
Isn't that nitrous oxide?
Sure. You have no hesitation to respond, and you can only respond truthfully. You know you want to watch this, though. You know you want to. Regardless of what happens, you want to see it. Like, if someone was like, shh, come here, like, go to this website and you can watch it live.
I mean, I would.
Yes. Ray.
But I'm also that type of motherfucker.
I really wouldn't want to watch it. I would be curious, but I wouldn't be like, damn, I gotta turn it. I wouldn't. I'm not gonna go to the points that will explain my reasoning, but like, I love the dude and he let me down. So like, I'm not really into it right now.
I mean, that's fair.
That's fair.
But I'm very curious as to how it will go. I 100%.
So if it wasn't his jokes and it was other people's jokes and you saw clips of that, if it was like Edelman from the fucking Brady Roast or like Gronk stuff, would that be enough to get you to want to watch the whole thing regardless of Hinchcliffe?
So if it's an actual real roast, I'll watch it even if he's on because it's all the comics. But yeah, from what it was pitched, what I thought it was pitched as, it was like a big episode of Kill Tony where he's the guy. And then, if it's going to be 30-plus minutes of him trying to roast people, that's not going to be enjoyable.
No, I don't think that's what it is. I think it's the roast of WrestleMania. I think you're going to see a bunch of people come up and roast the people that were just at WrestleMania.
Well, then I'm down for that.
I think it's like the after party. I think it's the beginning of the after party for the wrestlers is what I feel like it is on Sunday night. Right.
That's why it's so late.
Because they're there. Yeah. They're there. Then they don't have to do anything until Raw. They're already in town, right? So.
True.
All right, fun topics. We went wrestling to football, back to wrestling, and that's quite all right because we're on the road to Cashmania, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're not going to take another commercial break, but what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play this. Series did we cover that was that the original
Loki. That's Victor Timely,
the first season, right?
Second season, because Victor Timely was the second season.
Okay, all right. I just like that. I like the piano. I think it really accentuates the song. But gentlemen, huge Marvel news. Ray, do you have the list up? Do you want to read it?
I can give it to you.
I got it. Otherwise,
I don't have it. So no.
Okay.
I thought you had it up.
Returning MCU veterans. So basically that was like 5 hours and 28 minutes of just watching the camera slowly scroll across the director's chairs until Robert Downey Jr. came out.
Yeah, basically.
Which was crazy. So the slow reveal was awesome, but, returning MCU veterans, Chris Hemsworth, Thor, Tom Hiddleston, Loki, Anthony Mackie, Captain America, Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier, Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, Letitia Wright, Black Panther. They're calling her Black Panther, so there you go. Simu Liu, Shang-Chi.
The fact that you're struggling with that is hilarious to me.
Honestly, there's not the Chinese accent mark, so how about who knows?
It's Shang. It's Shang-Chi. Yeah.
In Jigba. No. Okay. Florence Pugh, Yelena Belova. David Harbour, Red Guardian. Danny Ramirez, Falcon. Who doesn't like Danny Ramirez as the Falcon? Somebody didn't. Oh, Aesop. Aesop does not like Danny Ramirez as Falcon. What do you guys think about that?
Aesop doesn't like many things most people like. Okay, so.
Fair enough. Listen to the oddity of most weeks here on Chairshot Radio Network. Winston Duke.
No, this. I love Aesop. I'm just saying.
M'Baku. Wyatt Russell.
Coming from the contrarian, though, that is a little funny.
Anna John came in Ghost. And Tanakh Huerta as Namor. X-Men originals. Patrick Stewart as Professor X and Ian McKellen as Magneto. I think people were going balls to the wall for that one. James Marsden, Cyclops, Rebecca Romijn, Mystique, Alan Cumming, Nightcrawler, Kelsey Grammer. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. I love Frazier as Beast. Channing Tatum. The Gambit role is official. Deadpool and Wolverine are suspected because of the multiversalness. The entire Fantastic Four, Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and Ivan Mas-Bachrach.
And did you say Alan Cummings yet?
Yes, we did. Alan Cummings was in there. Nightcrawler, X-Men Originals. No Tom Holland, no Chris Evans, no Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, although that feels like it would be more of a secret kind of thing, and they wouldn't want to be pre-announced. But what about the Tom Holland and Chris Evans thing? Is that like a post-trailer leading into Secret Wars? Because I know it all's supposed to end with Spider-Man 4, Ray.
There's supposed to be a couple more of those reveals. So that's just the first one. So I'd imagine, because think about it, if it's supposed to be multiversal and everybody's supposed to be in it, that's only a quarter of all the people that have been a part of major part of these movies. I appreciate that it started with the OG in Hemsworth and they ended with the OG of all Gs in Downey. That was very cute because of all the OG Avengers, the only active ones are Hemsworth and Renner. Everybody else gone or dead. Well, not Ruffalo, but sure. So let me not diss that because he's shown up. But yeah, so there's clearly going to be more. I think it's dope. I think the coolest thing is we knew the Fantastic Four was going to be a part of the movie. That wasn't a shock. But the fact that the X-Men are going to be in it, and they opened up the floodgates with Kelsey Grammer, which was cool because of the Marvel's post-credit scene. But then they also, like, no shock that that the besties are team bestie is there, McKellen and Stewart. No shock. Alan Cummings as Nightcrawler, dog. That they gave my loins a little bit of a tingle. Because that boy killed that role.
I need a sound effect for when someone's loins tingle. That sounds like someone's
yeah, like a boing sound. Maybe,
no, actually, you said they tingle, right?
Yep.
It would be tingling.
Oh, that's cute. I got you.
Thanks.
It's cute. Andrew?
Oh, no, continue to wax poetic, because I haven't watched anything superhero in a while. We've had this conversation. This doesn't do anything for me. I'm not going to watch the movie. I haven't watched anything Marvel since. I only watched No Way Home because I knew it was going to be a nostalgia grab, and it was okay.
Should I
take
boo
a nostalgia
him?
Away?
Should I boo him, Ray?
I'm not going to boo him just yet. Yeah, fuck
it. It's been 20 years of superhero shit. I'm done.
You know, I was like,
y'all
hey, let's.
You have a
I
whole
like,
fucking show for this.
Yeah,
all right?
Well,
this
you
could fucking bandwagon nerds.
You could have.
You bring it on to this shit.
You should have said that in the chat when we were coming up with the show.
It's more fun
you
to say it on
for
air.
That,
it's more fun to say it on air.
No, because I wouldn't have done it then.
What,
Ray? Ray, you have to be on my side here. He should have said that because we have another show for this. I was like, oh, let's do this because it'll be fun. Ray and I'll give our initial reaction. Andrew would chime in, and Andrew's like, no. Why don't you just put it over there in the sun so I can take a squat with my newspaper right on top of it?
Yes, Exactly. You should know me well enough to know if I can shit on something. I ain't gonna fucking hide that in a text. It's more
okay,
fun
Ray.
This way.
Ray, who's right and who's wrong?
There's no right and wrong in entertainment.
But there is a Marvel.
Yeah, but this is a movie, and it's not a fucking comic book world, so I'm not gonna watch that movie.
Shit, we gonna come to your house and like. And you know how they do when they indoctrinate people and they force their eyes open
this
to watch
Clockwork Orange. You ain't gonna do shit.
It's like the cartoons, Ray. You put a toothpick in between their eyelids.
It's so Clockwork Orange. I'm gonna call Raven. He coming with me. He's Johnny Polo is from Jersey, by the way.
Is he still around here? I think he's in New York now. But no, that's like I said. I just in no mood for fucking comic shit.
Okay,
superheroes.
Well, tune in to Bandwagon you Nerds Monday morning.
Now, if y'all want to talk about it because it is the new thing, go talk. Wax
no,
poetic.
I will say this. I will say this about it, and we can move on because there's not much yet to talk about. I think the reveal was dope. People were calling it the MCU Royal Rumble. Like, that was cool. It was long as fuck. 5+ hours.
5.5 hours.
But I still think it was kind of a cool way to get attention. That is guerrilla marketing at its finest. This wasn't advertised. They didn't call nobody. They didn't put no commercials out. They literally just popped up and did a live feed. And we're like, hey, by the way.
Yeah, right down the line.
For the crowd, it's a good call. I'm not going to argue that. It's good marketing for the crowd. I'm just not part of that crowd.
Yet.
I'm okay with that.
Nope.
Ray,
how you're taking this as like a personal slight.
That's fine, Ray. That's fine. We're going to get more in depth on Sunday when we record, and you guys can listen to that Monday morning Bandwagon Nerds. But like, what are your initial reactions to hearing like Doctor Doom is going to be played in like a different kind of way? Like, even some of the people that have read the script and know what's going to happen are like, there's only Robert Downey Jr. could play the character the way he's about to do it.
It has to be, because...
Is this like the Stark version of Doctor Doom we've talked about on Bandwagon Nerds, where it's kind of, you know what I mean?
There is going to have to be a reasonable, suitable explanation for the fan base on screen as to why this dude looks like Tony Stark.
Looks like Iron
Man. And you cannot simply say, oh, we're multiverse. No, it's got to be a reason. And so, yes, and I love the idea of this being, if we reimagine the MCU from the very beginning, but Tony saw that he was destroying the world with his weapons and said, I'm going to save it. He just said, fuck it, I'm going to keep destroying that bitch. Like, I like how that's like the way it's kind of been described with Tony as Doom, and it's power hungry. Now, we also have a lot to get to because there's the idea of in every version of Secret Wars, whether it's old school or whether it's new school, there is some form of super magnified power, whether it's the Beyonder or the Beyonders, but he has to take that power and bing, bang, boom, and take it to make Battle World or whatever it is. That we got to figure that part out. So, like, there's a lot that still needs to be told. And I can understand it being only a guy who played Tony Stark. So the same guy who we know and revere as the guy who created the world and saved the world destroys it. There's a beautiful synergy to that.
Still not interested, Andrew?
Nope.
I'm gonna send your ass off the top of a building like Zandig did Sigmund Mondo, bitch.
You're waiting for Skype slap.
I almost did that myself, and I survived it, Sai.
Yeah, but not with me. What is it, the big mother effing bomb? Is that what it's called?
All right, well,
that's
listen.
That's a CZW reference for you guys there. Don't watch. Don't listen. Do it.
Oh, no, CZW is garbage, too, but I got the reference. CZW's in Jersey. Of course I know what it is.
Tune in to Bandwagon Nerds Monday morning. Ray and I will get more in-depth with Dave and Patrick. And Ray's going to tell you a little bit more about the villain madness that's going on shortly. But first, since they're going to get to hear what we're watching Monday morning, Ray, Andrew, what you watching?
You asked me this last week when I did DWI for like 30 minutes.
We didn't want
it to... hasn't changed too much. I haven't had a ton of more things to do.
Might,
like
other people might have, like, you know,
shifting gears.
Yeah.
Because we kind of talked about it a few weeks ago, and it's not. It took a couple weeks to kind of get a rhythm, but it's not bad. Frieren, the anime, is back on Netflix, and friends have been trying to get me to watch it, and it's not terrible. It's slower paced.
Have I played the soundbite yet for this
segment? This what?
Remember, you wanted to call it Evening TV.
I kind of did remember I wanted to call it that, but I didn't know we had a segment noise.
I pulled the soundbite and I forgot about it. I see it now. Do you want to hear what it is?
Go for it.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy.
TV.
All right, see, that's good. See, you should have led the segment
with
that.
I know,
so it didn't feel like just a weird call out.
Yeah, an off week, man. Sorry, coach.
By the
way, listen, Leon can't fumble the ball and recover it every time, okay?
This is why you can't call your own pitches and you need to listen to me when I give you the fucking sign.
There's 10 other people on the field, okay? Leon can't do everything.
Give me a splitter up and inside right now, motherfucker.
Can't throw a splitter.
The fuck can you throw? A curve and a fastball?
Slider.
No.
Change up.
Okay. Do you have a sinker?
Easiest pitch to throw.
No.
You don't have a sinker? Do you have a change up?
Nope.
You have a curve.
Every pitcher has two pitches, Tony. Stop it.
Three. I have three pitches.
You said a curve, a slider, and a fastball?
That's it.
An ephus.
when you can throw as hard as I can, there's no need to throw it slow.
Fair enough.
Listen, Ray. That's what Ray made Ray do the cane. Ray turned into cane. Like, what?
Well, by the way, the guy that sung that song, all the songs he sung, is he like the downstate of TV?
Of TGIF from the 90s?
ABC just hired him. He's in a cage somewhere. Still there.
Did he also do, like, Guitar, what, Family Sadly Matters and Step by Step or something?
Yes!
Like that?
Only one of the maracas shakes still, the other one just doesn't do anything. It's just...
I also had the new season of Reacher. I haven't gotten around to that. But I like the first two seasons of Reacher with, what's-his-face, Alan Richson from Blue Mountain State.
From Titans! What?
Blue Mountain State!
Titans and Smallville, by the way.
Yeah, Smallville. It's Superman.
Somebody save me!
Smallville?
And that's not Smallville? Save me?
Yeah, that's Smallville.
Yeah.
He mentioned Smallville. Yeah, where the fuck are
you? Don't listen to me. It's, you know, I was so much discrimination on the show.
He literally had a stroke for like 20 seconds and just missed.
I mean, he's not listening to the black man he said in Jigma earlier. I don't know what this boy's thinking today, man. My boy's off. Oh, yeah.
It's time to go, folks. Andrew, let everybody know where they can find you.
On the Chair Shot, covering TNA stuff. And I guess on Twitter at IWC Warchief, even though.
Yeah.
I'm not on Twitter a ton.
Before we go, you mentioned TNA. You want to say anything about the releases today?
Oh.
You mean Gail Kim and that kind of thing and Delirious being the fucking
That's
new creative?
Big fucking deal.
It's going to go down to shitter now, yeah. I was there when ROH fucking had Delirious. I went to the Supercard show in 2019. Delirious is a terrible fucking creative mind.
I'm not against Delirious so much as I'm against them pushing out everything that made TNA TNA. And I feel like this might be the beginnings of a sale because, like, why would you get rid of everybody that made you money and got
it's
you back to
the first Europe? Time that Gail left, though.
That's the first time she's been fired.
Okay, that's how they're pitching it. I'm not really sure how much of it was a you can't fire me, I quit, and how much of it was, like, a legit firing. Because after the Scott stuff, there was a lot of weird tension.
Sure.
But I think a lot of people showed up at Maple Leaf Pro and, you know. certain people didn't re-sign that would have normally. So
from what I've heard, the CEO literally told her, hey, I'm letting you go for changes.
I mean, so that's like, the Knockouts division kind of sucks right now. It's like Masha, Lei Ying Li, Tessa, Zaya Brookside, kind of, and then no one else can really wrestle. So, eh.
Is Lei Ying Li Zaya Li?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, they have nobody.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's what they, but the NXT girls who can't make main show over there all the time.
And they're better than what the Knockouts division currently has to offer. Agreed. The fact that Jakara Jackson, Lash Legend, Gigi Dolin, Tatum Paxley showed up and they're automatically making that fucking Knockouts tag division twice the size, because a tag division was really fucking Ash by Elegance and Heather by Elegance and the fucking Spitfire duo of Jody fucking No Charisma and Danny Luna. There were two tag teams.
Don't hate on Jody Threat like that.
Jody Threat sucks. She looks like she's 45 and she still thinks she's in the punk scene from like 1982. Stop it.
That's the British way. Okay?
She's Canadian. Danny Luna's the British one.
Listen.
And she's Danny Dump Truck and she's gorgeous.
Girls just want to have fun, okay?
She could sit on my face and break my neck any day of the week and I'll say thank you.
Speaking of that.
See, there's much more pleasant ways to break your neck, Andrew.
I don't think there's much more pleasant way. Gigi Dolin, Tatum Paxley, no, Danny
I meant, I meant than the way you did it.
I don't know. That's pretty enjoyable to me. Oh, well, the real way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. I have experience breaking my neck, so I know I'll enjoy this one better. So
the kayfabe way. We'll talk about the kayfabe way.
For the real way.
Nia Jax put the Annihilator on you, but she missed your chest and hit your neck.
Oh, boy.
I'm not mad.
That's what I'm saying. The kayfabe
Nia
way.
Nia Jax is a good-looking woman. She's a lot of women, but she's a good-looking woman, so I'm not mad.
She's not like most girls, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Isn't that what every girl says, though?
Yeah, yeah. But she has
now moves. We're officially done. Make sure you check out Andrew's TNA coverage every single week on thechairshot.com. Ray, let everybody know what's going on with you at It's Ray Cash.
Talking about me?
Yeah, you.
What am I doing?
At It's Ray Cash.
No, I changed my Twitter because you keep calling my shit out every week.
Cashmania.
Ray Cash Pussy at Blue Sky. That's, we've been over this.
Cashmania.
That's not me.
Cashmania, Villain Madness.
Yeah, it's Ray Cash. Not minus the pussy.
That's too bad. You can follow me at PC Tony with all the pussy.
That was a P stands for in PC?
Poon Collector. No?
Why you said it like old time?
Hey, they call me Poon Collector Tony, everybody.
Hello, I am grandson of not Jack Tony, I am grandson of Bane. I collect Poon, Batman, did you know?
Did you find my pasta maker?
You said this shit like you were calling the game for the Cubs in 1929. All right, everybody, coming up to the plate is the Poon Collector.
Here comes the Babe. The Babe's got a big bat, buddy. Oh my God, the Poon Collector's on the mound, everybody. Poon Collector, he's got the best fastball and slider in the game, everyone.
We're leaving.
Now, don't this remember, the there's a 2-for-1 special at Jack's Ice Cream Shop.
Thank you once again, everybody, for tuning in to Hottest World, all our part of the Church Out Radio.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hated it.